We're going to take the Bible and turn to Titus chapter 2 and 1 John chapter 3. Brother Andrew gave me permission to preach a sermon that I've been working on, and so it won't be a Sunday school lesson per se, amen, but I'm going to preach to you a few minutes. We're going to look at Titus chapter 2 first, and then we're going to flip over to 1 John chapter 3 a little bit later. I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and I hate under these circumstances. I just pray Brother Andrew gets well quickly and fully. You know, there's a lot of things going on in the world today, and I'm going to be preaching this morning on let go. And some of you know mine and Patty's experiences for the past couple of years, and I just want to kind of relate that to this message of let go. I'm just going to jump right in, and I'm going to get started right away, and I'm going to say that our hope, our only hope, is in Jesus Christ. Amen. We're at the point right now in this world where the only hope that any of us can have is in the return of Jesus Christ. I believe that with all my heart. We affectionately call it our blessed hope. And I'm going to say that it's not even blessed hope. By all means, it's hope, but it's not hope in the fact that I hope so. It's hope in the fact that I know it's going to happen. Amen. And it's not just blessed at this time. I want to say that it's the only hope that we have. And that's the point that I want to bring out to you. Jesus Christ said, I am the truth, not a truth, the life, not a life, and the way. Not a way. And I want to say this morning that our only hope and the only truth we need to be looking at is Jesus Christ and His return. Look with me in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. That denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. This verse has been my life verse for the past 2 years. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Notice what it says here. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. You know what we got here? We're reading these things, and Paul wrote to Titus, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, that he needs to do some things here. And I want to say right here, he says to speak. What is he to speak? When you look up there, it says he is to speak of that blessed hope and return of Jesus Christ. Amen? The rapture of us unto Jesus Christ. He says you should be teaching these things. He said exhort. I like exhort. That's greatly encouraged. Amen? Who doesn't want to do that? Amen? I want to get up and exhort. But then he says rebuke. I don't care to get up and do that. And I sure don't want to be on the receiving end of it, amen. But he's got it sandwiched in there right between exhort and rebuke. There it is. And okay, wait a minute. Then he says, don't let anyone despise you. Why would Paul tell Titus to not let anyone despise you? I want to say that he said, don't let anyone despise you because Titus was doing the things that he was told. He was talking, he was spreading the truth, amen. He was encouraging and he was telling people about what he was supposed to tell people, the return of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say something. When you talk about the return of Jesus Christ in the rapture church, you get met with some resistance, amen. Sometimes people will kind of, they don't care about that. They'll despise you because of it. I've been despised of it. You think I said this earlier. It's easier for me to go out and tell somebody that they're going to die and go to hell without Jesus Christ and tell them that the eternal security of their soul is bound for burning in hell forever, easier than I can tell them that Jesus Christ is going to return. We're to encourage, we're to rebuke, and when you do that, we're going to be despised, amen? Truly, it comes to the sound doctrine of the post-tribulation rapture of the church. I'm going to tell you that I will never falter, I'll never waver, I'll never be intimidated, and I will never be silenced when it comes to teaching the doctrine of the return of Jesus Christ. Never. I even told Brother Andrew, any time I get a chance to get behind a pulpit or a teaching podium, I think we are so close, that's all I'm going to talk about. There's a whole Bible full of stuff here, but I'm going to tell you what, a whole lot of it's prophecy. Sound doctrine. I'm going to speak this in love because it is love and in truth, and I want to say it's our only hope, and it is the truth. This is what John talked about in the first epistle, chapter 3. I want to read verses 2 and 3. If you will, flip over with me to 1 John chapter 3. After I read these, just kind of keep your place there. I'm going to read couple of the verses right here. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 2 and 3, the Bible says, this is what John's talking about. He wrote concerning the rapture and the blessed hope, okay? This is just backing up what we just got through reading about in Titus. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Translated, we're looking at the anticipation of hope right here. Amen. We're looking for that blessed hope, our only hope. And I'm telling you, it is our only hope. Because that's the only way we're getting out of here. Amen. We're not getting out of this until Jesus comes back for us. That's it. There is no other way. That's the only way, and that is our only hope. But it's the ones who have this hope that are the only ones that's getting serious about Jesus Christ. I think if you really have this hope, you get serious with Jesus, you're going to get your affairs in order, you're going to tie up loose ends, and by tying up loose ends, you're going to lose your grip on some things. You're going to lose your grip on this world. You're going to lose your grip on the things of this world if you're really looking for this hope. I think you would agree that what's happened in the last couple of years, there's been some good things come from this. Because what's happened in this world through all this in the past couple of years, you've had people that have come to the point of hopelessness. They have nowhere else to turn. They don't know what to do. They've lost their homes, they've lost their families, they've lost their jobs, they've lost loved ones, they've had illness, they've had sickness. And this last 2 years has been a terrible time for a lot of people. But I want to say that it's been a good thing. I think there are more people that's turned to Christ in this past couple of years than there has been in a long time. Sometimes you have to bring people to that hopelessness to get them to look for their Savior, their help. Never know until the rapture on how many people through all this and accepted him as their. I think we're going to be in for a big surprise. Can't wait. Amen. We have a problem. And the problem is the vast majority of people, y'all hear me out. I'm not mad at anybody, and anybody that's made any decisions with your medical health care or anything else you've done, please understand I'm not mad with you. Please understand I'm not judging you. Those people listening, please understand, because I'm going to say some things today, and I don't wish any harm on anyone. Amen? I do not wish that on anyone. But I've got to lay out the truth. We got a problem, and the vast majority of people are putting their hope in science. They're putting it in this world system. They're putting it in a president. Notice I didn't say the president. I said a president. They're putting their hope in the world government. And I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to say there's a bunch of professing Christians along with a lot of other pastors. I was talking with one this morning, and we texted back. And I could tell by the things he said, he's still holding out hope in the things of this world. He's a good man. He's a good pastor. But he's still holding out hope for the things in this world. People are still holding on to hope in this dying world. There may be reasons for that. There's a good reason. There's a good explanation for that. I mean, but I only know of one, and that's to see our lost loved ones saved. Amen. Other than that, why in the world would anybody hold out hope for this thing, for this world? Amen. But there's none more telling the reason that I believe that people are holding out hope for the things of this world, and it's found, if you'll go with me over to 1 John, we're going to look at one more set of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 John 2. 15, very familiar passage of Scripture. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away. Amen. And the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. Here's the truth. Here's the truth. There's a myriad of prophecies all in the Bible. I'm talking about biblically, prophetically, and everything that tells that this world ends. And I want to go a step further and say that everything that I'm seeing points to it ending soon. Amen. This world is coming to conclusion. Praise God. I've got something better waiting on me. Amen. The ones that are holding out hope for the things in this world are hoping that things will turn around. They'll get better. That they'll go back to normal. If they're holding out hope for this world. They're like, you're right. Amen. 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 And we don't know what the, and if we really realized and we really had that hope and realized how much better we have it, and they would know. What I want to do, I want to take the next few minutes, and I want to, as humbly as I can, and as reasonably as I can, and as logically as I can, I want to examine some things that would have to happen in this world for it to get better, and what it would actually look like. I want to reason together. Isaiah said, come, let us reason together. Amen. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Let us reason together. James said that it comes down to this, for wisdom comes down to this, that it's pure, that it is first pure, it is peaceable, it's gentle, it's easy to be entreated, and it's reasonable. So I want to come to reason. I just want to put out some reason for you, and I got a list of 10 things here. I'm going to go through real quick. These are 10 things that would have to happen right now for us to go back to normal. Right now. And when I say normal, I'm going to say go back 2 years. Just for us to go back 2 years, here's a list of 10 things that would have to happen. any and all injections would have to stop now. Worldwide, now. Those who have had an injection would stop having adverse effects right now. But I tell you, this is day 673 of 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Last Sunday, it was 666 day of 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Number two, masks would no longer be needed. But I'll take it a step further, and masks wouldn't even be seen. Now, understand, I'm teaching this tonight where I've got a lot more time to go into explanation. Don't miss the, if you are elderly, you've got diabetes, and you're obese especially, when you go in a crowd, have your mask. Now, don't get a cloth mask. It does zero good. Don't get a surgical mask. A surgical mask, all that does is keep you from spreading your germs. It's a one-way filter. It keeps you from spreading to other people, but you can still contract it. Get you an N95 mask and put on if you're in a place, okay? So I'm not downplaying masks, that nobody should be wearing masks, okay? If you're in a crowded area and you've got some condition, wear an N95. But I'm saying if we go back to normal, amen, go back to the way it was, we'll see no mask. Number three, how are we doing so far? Like I told Brother Bowen, cheer up, it gets worse. So any and all of the satanic agendas that are perpetrated on this world would have to end right now. Right now. What do you mean? You mean there's more satanic agendas that the global elitists have planned for us? More than I care to tell you about. Number four. People who have to cease from dying from by the tens of thousands, I mean tens of thousands, and that's a conservative number, they would have to stop dying right now. Number five, the global economy and supply chain would have to instantly be restored right now. Because you see, as we speak, the shelves are getting empty, and I think they're going to get more and more empty. And if you stopped it, if you corrected it right now, it's still going to take quite a while to get things back in order. If we're going back to normal, this is what's going to have to happen. Number six, there would have to be an admission of a massive deception on a global scale. I could get into you about conspiracy theories, but it's not a theory, amen. It is a conspiracy, but there is no theory to it. Number seven, all businesses, especially churches, would have to open up now, right now, today, never shut down again. Now, I'm not talking about closing down a church like happened here. If you got a bunch of sickness in the church, shut it down. We don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be around a bunch of sick people. Amen. I'm talking about as a normal. You don't know how many churches are shut down because of this. Number eight, the world's laborers would need to get back to their employment immediately. Number nine, the hospitals would have to actually start treating sick people and not killing them for money. That's not Jim Bowen just saying that. And tonight I'm going to be doing this, and I've got video of other doctors backing up what I'm telling you, okay? Number 10, the world would have to somehow recover with some semblance of normally swiftly, amen? So on all this list of 10 things that I just went over, and that was just 10, I could have come up with 100, amen? You could have come up with some, amen? But of the list of 10 that I just read to you, the things that would have to happen for us to go back to normal, how reasonable is that? I mean, we're being reasonable, right? When you look at these list of 10 things, does it seem absurd to you that all this could happen? Does it seem plausible that all that I just mentioned could happen to take us back to normal? Matter of fact, I'm going to submit to you that it seems highly implausible that any of this could ever happen. And I'm telling you, it won't happen. Let's just take one. Let's take the supply chain. Like I said, the supply chain right now is so interrupted. It would take so much time just to get things back to where it needs to be. Tighten up, it's going to get worse. Why is it? Why are they doing all this? I'm here to tell you it's to dismantle and destroy the global economy. It's to dismantle and destroy and usher in a digital cashless society, exactly like we're told in the book of Revelation, that's to be run by the man of sin, amen, that I'm going to tell you my personal opinion that I think is already on the scene. I'm reading a lot of things that it almost could only come from the Antichrist. Now, I'm not saying I know who he is. I got some names. You got some names. But I am saying that I do believe that the Antichrist is on the scene. It's a controlled demolition of our whole world, our whole global economy, and all our government. That's what's taking place. And it will happen. Hear my heart and know this. Like I say, other than seeing loved ones get saved, why in the world would anybody want to hang on to this? Why? I love you guys, but I love you a lot more up there. Why do people want to keep this world on life support? For the believer in Jesus Christ, don't you know we have already overstayed our welcome here? This world is not our home. Amen. We're just a passing through. Here's another question. I seem to have a bunch of questions for you this morning. Let me ask you this question. I ask myself these same questions. Shouldn't there be some excitement and anticipation of hearing that trump sound? Jesus Christ coming in the sky, the dead in Christ rising first. Those of us alive going up beside him and that remain going up behind him, shouldn't there be an anticipation and an excitement about that? I'm going to be caught up in the air to live with the Lord forever. You look at John's gospel over in chapter 4, and we quote it often, "I go to prepare a place for you." He's not only go to prepare a place for us, he has to. He had to go. He had to go to make a way for me and you. The disciples here, he was telling them this because they were freaking out. They didn't know. They knew he was fixing to leave. He said, "What do you mean you're going?" But he tells them this. He said, "Look, I've got to go. But when I go, I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit down. You won't only have God with you. You're going to have God in you." Where do I sign up? Oh, I already did. Amen. His disciples were speaking out. He was comforting his disciples. So back to the question of excitement. Why are we not excited about this? Why are we not excited about listening for that trump and Jesus coming back? He says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you in my Father's house," which, by the way, is a bridal chamber. Christ is going to get his bride. We're going to go into bridal chamber, and we're going to consummate our marriage. We're going to celebrate our marriage for a period of 7. Then we're going to come out of that bridal chamber after we've consummated it and we've celebrated it, and then the Bible says we're going to go eat really good. Amen? We're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm going to be sitting right by Jesus Christ as his bride. Amen? If the disciples could have been able to connect the dots when he was telling about this, they'd have been excited about this. Amen? If they could have seen what Jesus was actually telling them and they could connect the dots, they'd have been excited. But they were very unsettled because, let me tell you, and I can understand that. The only thing they could think about was Jesus Christ is fixing to go to the cross and die. But they didn't realize what waits after that. He's preparing for us now, and boy, I can't wait. We're going to sit with him by his side. Why in the world would you want to stay here? Why would you put your hope in this world? We don't want to go up there. No. We're living for the here and now. Yeah, amen. Amen. But it's Disney World, brother. I mean, we want to stay down here and we don't want what's up there. Amen. We're not excited about what's up there. I'm going to tell you something I get excited about. The more stuff that I see and read about happening in this world gets me more excited because, as one pastor told me, it's getting gloriously dark. Amen. Brother Ron McKeever. The only explanation that one's roots are dug down so deep in this temporal soil is because, you know, you'll be hard-pressed to find a church that's a Bible-believing church today that preaches the gospel, the whole counsel of God, amen? They're just not there. It's good. It's hard to find a church which says to pick up thy cross and deny thyself daily, amen? Dying to self, I don't want to die to self. You don't want to do that? Jesus says, unless you die to yourself, you cannot be my disciple. You want to be my disciple? You got to pick up your cross daily. You know the thing about daily, Brother Broadwin? It's daily. One more thing, and I'm going to be closing. Death brings grief. I think all of us in here know a thing or two about sorrow and grief. I think we know about losing a loved one. I think you'd agree that even though we don't grieve as those who have no hope, we still know grieve. We still grieve, amen. But have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about grieving for your life in this world? Dying to self? Have you ever thought about grieving your nation? I thank God that Lelaine, pastoring citizenship, and she's American, but I tell you what, America is a dying nation. Have you ever grieved the death of a lifestyle? I have. I started grieving back in April of 2020. God has not given me any special revelation, trust me. But God did tell me this is it back then. This is where it comes to an end. It's coming to a close. And I haven't forgot that since. One more thing on this. The grief of a nation, the grief of a lifestyle, the grief of anything. You fill in the blank. Use the Holy Spirit to fill in the blank. Grieving what in this world? Amen? There'll be no shortage of things to fill in that blank. I'm grieving. I mean, it's over. This world is dying. The world is passing away, and it's going. Sometimes we don't want to let go. Sometimes we just want to hang on to this, or we just want to hang on to that. That's the only thing that makes sense, the reason people would not be looking for the return of Jesus Christ in anticipation. That's all that makes sense. People don't want to hear that trumpet. Because they're still holding on. Let go. Let go. You'll be much happier. You'll be much more peace. You're still going to have some anxiety. I still do. I'm living. I still have to live here. I got things. But I got a peace because you need to let go. Nothing in this world is holding me down right now. Amen? Nothing. I thank God for what all He's given me, how He's blessed me, the health He's given me, but there's nothing here that's tying me down. There's nothing I say, man, I sure am going to hate to leave that. I sure wish I could get back out to Yosemite one more time. I sure wish I could get back over to Europe one more time. Nothing is holding me down. Amen. Let go. Jesus is coming sooner than any of us realize. Please hear me. There's a preponderance of evidence, biblically, prophetically, that proves beyond any reasonable doubt that this world is coming to a halt. It's coming to a stop, and it's coming to a stop soon. Jesus is our only hope. He's our only way. And what I'd have to say to anybody that's still holding out hope in this world, as lovingly as I can say it, if you're holding out hope, you're in for a rude awakening. Another way of saying you're in for a big surprise. If you're holding out any hope for this world to return to normalcy, you're going to be waiting a long time. It's not coming. It's not. This is how it ends, and this is when it ends. Brother Andrew may have to get up and correct me and what he believes, but I think he believes the way I do. But it's the truth. It's coming to an end. This is it. And I look forward to it. Amen. This is how it ends. This is where it ends. And let me tell you something. As a born-again believer in Christ, your future is in a rapture of the church, going up and being with the Lord forever. And those left behind have a 7-year period in history coming ahead of them that's more horrific than anything anybody's ever seen. The world is dying, and it's just a matter of time. I'm done. I cut that down as much as I could. I think I did okay on my time. Let me see what my time is, because I'm going to be, we've got 10 minutes. Have y'all got any questions on anything I said? The list of 10, you got any questions on anything I said? Got any comments? And you have to wonder, if you truly believe in the Bible, I mean, even if you don't know your Bible that well, but if you truly believe it, you know there's got to be a rapture. Why would you not? Why would you not be looking at things right now and getting closer? And it is. It has changed. There are a lot of people that are getting closer to God. I mean, it's hard to see that because most of our churches are emptying out now, and that's everywhere. I've talked to pastors all over the United States, and that they won't. Probably not. Yeah. They were out, but they were still coming to church. Yeah. And I think that's the way God wants it. He says in there, he said, I'd rather you be cold or hot. I think Brother Bonds preached on that last time. I'd rather you be cold or hot than lukewarm. Somebody preached this recently. Amen. I didn't want to be discouraging, and you've got your right. People, like I say, I talked to a pastor this morning, and people, just things they say, they're holding out hope. I'm going to tell you something. Like I say, it's coming soon. If there's anything you want to do to God, if there's any family member you need to witness to, we better be doing it. We better be doing it, because I've got zero hope in this world. I've got zero hope in this government. I worked as a registered nurse for 25 years. And I'm sorry to say, but it didn't take me a year, if that, to lose faith in the healthcare system. Because I just saw the cases that didn't make it, or I saw all the stuff that, you know, I worked in a surgical intensive care unit. I worked in a cardiovascular intensive care unit. And I saw the cases that didn't make it. And that may have affected my thinking on that, but I've always had zero faith in the healthcare. Well, since after being a nurse for about a year, just so much. And right now, I listen to there are a lot of good doctors out there, but they're silenced. You won't see them on Fox News or MSNBC, or you won't see them on Six News or whatever the local news is here, 13, you won't see them there. I listen to them, and I tell people, you know, these nurses, these doctors that I listen to that will tell you the exact same thing that I told you about how they're paying people in the hospital, paying hospitals to kill people. And it is, that's exactly what's happening. And I can tell you how much they're paying them and how they're paying them. But it's because of the treatments and the prescriptions. And it's a hard thing to talk about, but there are some good doctors. But I want to tell you, the doctors I listen to, they're the ones that have risked their careers, their families, their monies, all their livelihood. They have risked all that to speak out and say the things that they're saying. That's who I listen to. I don't listen to the ones that get up there and are still getting paid and still on the payroll and getting kickbacks from pharmacies and everything, surgical equipment people, and all the other kickbacks they get. Amen. It's nonstop. Well, it's a shame, because that's the truth and that's what's happening. And you know, sometimes as Christians, we get more gullible because we don't understand how people could be that devious and that evil, because we're not that way. We look at it, and most everybody in here, I know everybody in here wants to be helpful. You want to help people. You want to love on people. You want to, you know, help people be the best. So for us to think of everything else, it's hard, because that's not the way we think. But unfortunately, it's the way it is. It's the way the world's gone, and it's the thing. So it makes it hard on us. But, you know, again, we have to look for our blessed hope. Amen. And no matter what happens, and no matter what they come out with, the government comes out with, the changes made, we got our hope. And it's, like I say, it's not just a hope; it's a promise. He's coming back. Amen. And I think we may have to go through some bad things, but I tell you what, He's not going to put us through any more than we can handle. Amen. He promises that too. We're going to be out of here before it gets any worse. Let's pray. Father, I come to you and thanking you for this time. And Father, and I thank you for all you have blessed us with. I thank you for this church that we come to meet together.